Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates Talk Radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed over 5,200 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping families grow through the adoption process is very important to us. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw, and our private adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so thank you very much for listening in today. We do hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. I am excited to welcome to our show today Jonathan Heron. John, are you with us?
Yes, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to be on our Adoption Focus podcast. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you, as I know our listeners are, about this adoption process that you and your family are entering into for not even the first, second, or third time. But we'll get to that. But thanks, John, for being here today. And we're just going to jump right in. I know that our listeners really want to get to the good stuff quickly. And so what we want to hear about is you and your wife, Amber, are the proud parents of three wonderful children who joined your family through adoption. And that in and of itself could fill an entire podcast, I'm sure. But equally as exciting and interesting is the fact that you and Amber have recently decided to adopt again. So share with us, John, tell us about that decision.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an honor to be with you. We're really passionate about adoption. Our story, I married my high school sweetheart in 1998, and we brought home our first little guy, Josiah, in 2006. And then when we moved to Michigan, we connected with Adoption Associates. We've been very, very happy working with the team at Adoption Associates. And we adopted our daughter in 2012, and our third in 2014. And probably about December of last year, we opened up the mailbox here at Life Church, where I'm the lead pastor, and there was a letter from Adoption Associates saying, hey, there are so many children who you know, could use a loving, caring, compassionate home, but for whatever reason, there seems to be a shortage of adoptive families. And so the letter said, would you be open to sharing about this at church? And so I show it to my wife. I'm like, that's really interesting, and then about a month later, we received a letter at our house for Adoption Associates. And so then my wife was like, okay, we need to sit down and talk about this. And so, yeah, that just kind of started the conversation for us. And I think when I look at family photos of our family, I've always, as a dad, as a father, felt like there's someone missing from our family photo. And so that's really moved my heart in the direction. We're going for our fourth adoption. And I think at five, you get your card punched, right? You get like a free burger or something. I'm kidding.
Well, John, so you talked about the letter coming and such, but I'm curious, were one of you initially more inclined than the other to consider a fourth adoption?
I think my wife and I, we've just always had a passion for adoption and for foster care. We've been foster care parents in the past also. A lot of that just comes from our faith. In the scriptures, there's a book called James. It's like in the back of the Bible. And in James 1:27, it says that, it's the Christ followers who should have the most compassion and care for orphans. And we really believe that. And so I just think both of our hearts, we've always known, even when we were dating, that at some point we wanted to grow our family through adoption. And in our, our story has just kind of unfolded that way, where we've had that opportunity. And it's just fun. man, there's such great joy in entering into a bigger story than just the story of yourself, and to engage in something bigger happening in the world. And so adoption has just been a blessing in our lives.
What do you think, or in your mind or in Amber's mind, is the size of a family that you're intended to have? Is there such a thing as a right size of a family? And for you guys, what does that look like?
You know, I'm a child of the 80s, and I remember staying up late at night watching Nick at Night, where they do reruns of the shows, and we'd watch the Brady Bunch. I think the Brady Bunch had a good number, because you had three guys, three girls, the parents, and then you had Alice as the tiebreaker. every household has to kind of wrestle through that for what fits best for them and maybe even what they're called to. But like I said, we just have this huge passion for children that are growing up without parents. We spent a lot of time in ministry working with teenagers. And about 15 years ago, we had the privilege of leading groups of teenagers over to Africa to serve in orphanages. We did that for a couple summers, flying over to Zambia. And, being in a third world country where there's no Netflix, no Wi-Fi, no AC, it really makes you focus on what's important, which is other people. Mm-hmm. And if you ever have the opportunity, regardless of your faith background, if you have the opportunity to go and serve people in another country, it will do more for your heart than the people you're serving, because it just opens your eyes to the great need there is in our world, particularly for children. But then it just blows you away when you're with, these kids in this orphanage in Zambia, they had nothing. They would go outside, and soccer is really big over there. They call it football, and they didn't have a soccer ball. So they would take, trash, and they'd be kicking it around in these dusty African fields, but they were having a blast. They were having a time of their lives because there were some adults that just wanted to spend time with them. Mm. And so, at the end of each day, we'd leave the orphanage and we'd be in tears because we realized, we're in America. If you live in America, you've hit the jackpot of history. You are wealthy, even if you don't feel like it, you really are. And so to be around these orphans, it just broke our hearts and opened us up to a greater awareness of what matters. And for us, pouring into the lives of orphans, that just is a calling and it's a passion. It's I can't say enough good things about opening your life up to something new.
Well, and I think that's obviously such an important topic that you've touched on, and it also leads me to what I wanted to ask you next. The open attitude that you and Amber have has also translated into transracial parenting. We mentioned that you have three children that you're parenting, but I'd like to talk about the fact that you and Amber have chosen to parent transracially and how you came to that decision and what those influences have been like for you.
Yeah. So when we walk into Target, everybody looks at our family because we don't fit the mold. We're a rainbow of colors in our family. So my family growing up, I come from a family of immigrants. My mom's side of the family immigrated in the 60s from India. So I have darker skin than most folks, I suppose. My grandfather, who was born in Nepal, was an orphan for 18 years. And to see what he did with his life of, marrying my grandmother in Calcutta, India, and then coming to the States to create a better life for his family, that's always inspired me. And then when we went to Africa for a couple summers and spent time in the orphanages. It just made us more aware that regardless of the pigment of your skin inside, we're all human. We're all people. Mm-hmm. We're all made in the image of God. And so, you know, it was an actually pretty easy decision for us to move in the direction of transracial adoption. Adoption Associates did a great job. They offered a workshop and they said, okay, if you're thinking of doing this, just come on down to Lansing. We want to equip you with some information. And going through that workshop, it just melted away any objection that we would have had in our hearts when we started to realize, you know what, this is an opportunity to expand our worldview and to love another child who needs a loving, caring home. And so it's been a huge blessing. Our daughter's African American, and she is such a huge ray of sunshine. Her middle name is Grace. And we really believe that she is an undeserved favor in our lives. We absolutely adore her. We love her. We have an open relationship with her birth mother and birth grandmother. And that's just been a huge thing in our lives. It's opened our eyes, honestly, I grew up in Iowa. All right. I grew up around corn stalks and farmers and cows. And so I was kind of sheltered. And now as an adult, I can better understand, some of the hurdles that exist in our country today if your skin color is different than, you know, than mine growing up in Iowa. And so that's really changed my outlook on life. It's been a huge education for me. It's crushed me in all the best ways because suddenly I'm starting to better understand the things I see in the news. You know, I'm starting to understand phrases like, you know, white privilege. And I know for my wife who grew up, you know, in central white Pennsylvania, it's just been eye-opening to us. And it's opened up so many relationships in our lives. At our church, has become very multicultural very quickly because, you know, I'm the lead pastor. And when folks walk in the door and they see my family and see that, wow, love is what binds us together, very quickly our church became multicultural and we're experiencing the richness of those relationships. To say that my daughter has blessed my socks off is an understatement. and so now we're going for adoption number four. We are intentionally seeking, you know, it to be transracial.
That's wonderful. I'm wondering if this may require you to clear the cobwebs a bit, so I apologize, John, but you mentioned that training that you and Amber attended in Lansing that was specifically to address issues associated with transracial adoption. Is there one standout from that you might be able to recall? And if you can't, that's okay. It's asking a lot, I know, but I'm just wondering if there was something, because you mentioned walking away from that with a bit of a new perspective. In just a couple of minutes, if you could spend on what you think about that.
Yeah, so we love Adoption Associates. Can't say enough good things about Adoption Associates. They are very, very professional and been fantastic to work with. And so in 2012, when we were looking at transracial adoption, I'll be the guy who puts his hand in the air and goes, yep, I was being the dumb guy. All right, I was dragging my heels out of ignorance, just saying, yeah, but it's going to be hard because of this and, you know, we're just not ready for this. And our adoption caseworker was just so compassionate and saw through my stubbornness and said, hey, we're going to have this workshop in Lansing. There's nothing on TV that day. Come on down to Lansing. We'll feed you. And so we made the drive, and it was amazing. At the end of the training, I'm like, I've been so stupid. The objection I had in my mind was not based in reality. It was based in pride. And once you educate yourself, once you put yourself into the shoes of somebody else and you develop compassion and realize, wow, there is a bigger story that I have the privilege of walking into, it really melted away the dumb, you know, thoughts I had or any of the stubbornness I had in my heart. So I'm probably the poster child for the workshops in Lansing, you know. So if you can get your husband or get that guy in your life to come out to Lansing, that just was super helpful. And like I said, even in my field of work, so I'm a pastor, it's really helped me in that area to be a better leader, to be a better listener. And that's been good for our church community and for our friends. So, yeah, adoption has affected many lives, all for the positive and primarily for our children. Because we absolutely love our kids. And, I just can't say enough good things.
So when we're, you know, having our discussion here about the multiple adoptions that you and your wife have come to benefit from, and now looking at adoption number four, I'm wondering if you could give us a bird's eye view in your opinion of both the joys and the challenges that you have faced in not only necessarily the process, but in becoming parents by adoption.
Sure. I think the biggest thing that we've experienced, our son's about to turn 11, so we've been in this world for 11 or 12 years, is many of our friends and family, when they hear the word adoption, they think of these made-for-TV movies on cable, on Lifetime, of these horrible stories, these ripped from the headlines, horror stories. But if you'll just slow down, turn off the Netflix, and read a book, you can realize how rich the adoption experience can be, the benefits of open adoption. Man, it blows people away when we say, oh, yeah, our oldest son, we hang out with his birth mom. You know, we have an open relationship. He talks to her on the phone. They're like, oh, aren't you afraid that she's going to show up in the middle of the night? No, that's crazy talk. This is 2017. And what's cool is that my son has more people in his life who love him. You know, there's some fun benefits as a kid, too, I guess, if benefits is the right word. Of you know, at birthdays and Christmas, he gets more presents, you know. But
right.
It's cool because he doesn't have that question mark in his mind of, where do I come from? You know, he doesn't have that existential identity because he just knows. We've always been open. We've done a good job with kids' books about adoption of educating him, and so that's just been a positive for us. I think when you adopt, you know, there is an educational curve, but it's going to reap benefits in your life. You're always going to run into folks who will say something, you know, dumb or inappropriate. But you can pivot in those conversations or you can use that as a teachable moment. And so that's the way that we've approached it with our children as they're getting older. You know, we just want to set them up for success and be remain passionate about adoption. Because like I said, you know, James 1:27, it says it's our responsibility as Christ followers to care for orphans. And so, yeah, there are hurdles that you hit along the way, but Adoption Associates does a great job of walking alongside you, encouraging you, educating you. And there's a wealth of resources, you know, online, on Amazon, that you can read up on, and it just equips you to be a better parent going forward.
Awesome. Thanks for that. What about the impact on your children with each subsequent adoption? Have you noticed or have you noticed anything?
Oh, they love each other. We've been blessed. Yeah, I know. Well, we got extroverts in our family. So no,
this is true. I can attest to that.
That's right. You got to peel them off the walls, and it's like herding cats. our oldest was 5 years old when our daughter was born. And so we were just open and honest with him, as much as you can be with a five-year-old, and said, hey, you know, God's bringing a baby sister into the family. And so from day one, he was on board. There was never any jealousy, no weirdness. And the same was true in 2014 when we brought our youngest home from the hospital. It was just so sweet. We picked up our oldest son at school, and he got to meet his brother for the first time in the back of the seat of the car, and he was just oohing and aahing. And then we went home, and our daughter was, I think, 2 years old at the time, and she just came right up to see her little baby brother, and she said, "Rock-a-bye, baby," and she started rocking him gently. And so for our kids, it's normal. It's natural to say, oh, we got room for one more. Let's do this, you know. Mm-hmm. And it develops great character qualities in our kids. They are very slow to judge. They're very accepting of people who might talk different, look different than them, because they understand that what knits a family together is love. And then as Christ followers, that's a beautiful picture of what we see in our faith in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Now, not to get preachy, but you got a pastor on here. But it says in the scriptures that God adopt us. And it's that same idea that we once were outside of the family circle, but once you're adopted, that's once for all time, and you gain a new name and a new inheritance and a new destiny, a new future. And so that's just a beautiful picture of the Christian faith that you see in adoption. And that's been huge for our kids as they kind of connect the dots as they're growing up.
And so where are they now? Obviously not physically, but with this new adoption, I'm sure you and Amber have talked with them that here we go again. Mm-hmm. What has the response been?
Oh, they're excited. We sit down, we have family dinner every night, and we pray. And so we're starting to have the kids pray for, you know, little brother, little sister to get ready. That, you know, they're really excited. Our church family is excited. Our extended family and friends, you know, they're geeked. And we're trying to store up on our sleep now because we know what happens when a newborn enters.
Very good point.
It's
very good point.
It's a glorious mess.
Obviously, John, your faith is a big part of your life, being the pastor of Life Church. And I am curious what your belief is in terms of God's plan for your family. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And you can find us online at lifechurchmichigan.com if anybody has questions.
Great.
But, when I look at the scriptures, where I kind of land is that there are no accidents. Every child is a blessing. Every child is worthy of love and compassion. And then when you look at adoptive parents, whatever leads you to that decision, where I land in the scriptures, it's part of God's plan. There are no accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And God's heart is for adoption. So Ephesians 1, we are adopted through Christ to be sons and daughters of God. And so adoption is on the heart of the Father. And wow, what a privilege, what an honor it is to welcome into your family a child made in the image of God, and to live out the gospel that we're all, you know, we can all be adopted into God's family through Christ. So absolutely, it goes hand in hand. And that's why, at Life Church, we're so passionate about talking openly about foster care and about adoption. And we're honest with people, and we say, okay, here are some of the hurdles that you walk through, but at the end of the day, it is worth it. It is a huge blessing in your life, your family.
Okay, so we have lost our connection with John, and hopefully he'll call us back in just a second. That was unfortunate. I think that he was talking with his hands, is my best guess, as I know John well to do. And what John was talking about is something that, as the family caseworker, I have heard so many times from their family, that they wouldn't change a thing, that they do believe that their family is exactly as God intended it to be. And the trials and tribulations, both the ups and downs, they would do it all over again. And I think that John is now back with us. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. My call failed.
Oh, you know what? I blamed it. I said, he's probably talking with his hands again.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, you know what? Your point was very well made, though, and I caught all of what you were saying before you were disconnected, that there are no accidents, and every child is definitely a blessing. And I do appreciate you not only calling us back, but taking the time to be on the show today. We are nearing the end of the show, and I did want to give you an opportunity to, you know, make any last final thoughts. As your caseworker from Adoption Associates, we are very excited that you and Amber have returned to grow your family farther through adoption, and cannot wait to see that happen. But John, I wanted to give you, these last couple of minutes to make some comments, whatever you felt that you needed to say that we haven't already covered.
Absolutely. Adoption Associates, they are smoking what they're selling. They are compassionate professionals that we highly recommend. And, I always tell people here at Life Church, but I'll share it with the listeners too, that we're an open book. If we can ever be a help in answering questions or offering whatever little advice we have, you can find me on social media across all platforms at Follow John. It's at Follow J-O-N, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and we're more than happy to answer questions and point people to, our good friend Jennifer at Adoption Associates, because we just really believe in the work that you're doing.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much for that. And for those of you that are listening, if you're interested in connecting with Adoption Associates, we would love to hear from you. And you can reach us at 800-677-2367 or on the web at adoptionassociates.net. We do our Adoption Focus podcast every Tuesday at 11. We do appreciate those of you that have been in support of this program and hope that you will tune in again next Tuesday. John, thanks again for today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.